Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. One of the most exciting nights in cinema is upon us once again. This Sunday, the American Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences will present the 86th Academy Awards. Nominees for Best Picture this year include Martin Scorsese's black comedy The Wolf of Wall Street, Steve McQueen's epic drama 12 Years a Slave, Jean-Marc Vallée's biopic Dallas Buyers Club, and Alfonso Cuarón's sci-fi thriller Gravity, among others. It's going to be a tough choice to which one gets the golden statue, the Oscar. Joining us today to give their take on the nominees and to take your calls, Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg, both no strangers to our airwaves, professors of film studies at SUNY Albany. Rob and Audrey have co-authored several entertainment biographies, and as regular commentators are regarded here at WAMC as the foremost authorities on the premier couple of cinematic criticism and analysis.
Thank you.
It's almost like a speech here. Yes. Give us a call right now, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also comment below today's show page on our Vox Pop section of the website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. And that took so long, the show's now over. No, it's not. 1-800-348-2551 is the number to call, and we'd love to hear from you. Well, Rob and Audrey, with that done, this is almost like the Super Bowl for you.
Oh, yes.
This is an exciting night coming up, and we have 9 Best Picture nominees. Why not 10?
Well, there could have been 10. It gets to be a little complicated, but it ended up being 9. One point I want to make, last year I think was an excellent year, above average from a point of view of the quality, the number of films that came out high quality. I came up with 16 possibilities for potential nominees. If any one of these films, in addition to the 9 that were nominated, I would feel they fit. Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine, August Osage County had its flaws, but if it received the Best Picture nomination, I would not have been disappointed. All Is Lost, the Robert Redford film, Inside Llewyn Davis, the Coen Brothers film, Mandela Long Walk to Freedom, an excellent film, Prisoners, which came out in September, Saving Mr. Banks, the Walt Disney Mary Poppins film. If any one of these films would have been nominated, I would not have had a problem.
Now, Audrey was shaking her head.
Yes. See, I know some of these films.
When Rob said Inside Llewyn Davis, I had to shake my head.
Why?
Because I thought it was very, very minor, Coen Brothers. And in fact, in some ways, I thought it was a bad movie. There were some aspects of the screenplay that could have been clever if they were logical, but they were illogical. And the more people I talked to about the screenplay, the more flaws turn up.
Was it illogical by design?
That I do not know. I think we'd have to have at least one of the Coen brothers here
okay.
to ask.
And sadly, they were not available.
And I can't imagine that they would design a film that didn't make sense.
Let me put it this way. Audrey and I, when we go to the movies together, sometimes we have very interesting conversations on the way home, particularly when we disagree.
And there are 9 nominations for Best Picture. And right. By the way, the number to call is 800-348-2551. Yeah. There are 9 nominees. Of those, is there one? Are there 2 that you think should not be there? We'll start with Audrey.
Should not be there. I think Captain Phillips was a good movie. That doesn't make it one of the best of the year. Other than that, well, here's one. The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
The Wolf of Wall Street was so indulgent. The running time of that film puts any potential viewer with a back problem into a dilemma.
How long was the movie?
3 hours.
Well, that shouldn't automatically discount it, right?
And I understand that a DVD Blu-ray set is coming out with an extra hour tacked onto it, the director's cut.
Yeah. So, of all the 9 nominees, there's not one that I feel, oh, how did that get in there? There are some that I prefer over others. 12 Years a Slave, which I think is the is going to win, is an extraordinary film on many different levels. It brings up a subject in a very artful way that I think people should just be more aware of. Two films that I want to mention here, both Her and Nebraska, are both very different but extraordinary films. I'm watching Her, and I'm thinking to myself, again, I've seen a million films in my time. Mm-hmm. God, there is so much originality going on here. Nebraska is very old school in a very good way, telling the story of an older man and what he wants out of life and where he's headed. Gravity is an extraordinary film for a lot of reasons. Again, the nine nominees. I mean, I see Wolf of Wall Street a bit overdone, bit overlong.
But wasn't the whole era and that whole sort of culture overdone,
right?
And over
but
the
time. But it's the storytelling, and I think because Scorsese made it, Scorsese has a certain largesse, so they're not going to edit Scorsese. But still, it doesn't bother me that it got a nomination. Some of the films I think are a little higher quality than others. 12 Years a Slave, Her, and Nebraska, Gravity are the four. Also, Dallas Buyers Club is quite good. There are a lot of good films last year.
The one that you didn't mention is one that pops out in my mind, Philomena. Mm. Philomena is subtle, but it is fine. It's really a very successful blend of genres. And I think Steve Coogan has stepped up to the plate. He is really, I can't believe I'm making baseball analogies.
Oh, that's okay. Me. That's
fine.
That's what I do.
But Steve Coogan, who produced the film, co-wrote the film, and is a co-star of the film.
And Coogan has a nomination also for script.
He put together a production that takes us to depths of emotion, you know, really melodrama / drama, and combines it with comedy and romance and mystery.
Mm. One of the keys
puts it all together in a way that I hope more people will go out and see Philomena.
One of the keys to this film, I think, is, again, based on fact, how does one deal with being treated in the most horrific way, being abused? You know, how do you deal with your feelings as you get on in life? When you're a kid, things happen to you where you really are abused in the worst possible way, in a horrific way. How do you live your life? How do you forgive? Very, very interesting issue. I think it's something that a lot of people out there, unfortunately, should be able to relate to. This is dealt with in Philomena.
But
it's dealt with in almost every one of the nine Best Picture nominations. People are suffering. Maybe not so much in American Hustle, but Captain Phillips is a study of suffering. Dallas Buyers Club is very much so.
12 Years a Slave.
And Gravity, Lost in Space. Yes. I mean, my God, you lose all of your all of your checkpoints, they're gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned subtlety in Philomena. Mm-hmm. American audience, we had this discussion in the green room before the show. Subtlety can somewhat be lost on a vast mass audience in America. Will it be lost on the Academy when it comes to Best Picture?
Well, this, again, so much of it, it gets to be political. It also gets to be, well, gee, who's my favorite as opposed to who gave the best
performance?
Even
among the Academy.
Oh, positively. I could talk for the next 5 hours, give you stories about why certain films or directors or actors were nominated, were not nominated, won, did not win, based on politics, based on popularity. It's very, very complicated.
Well, each one of the major categories has individuals who are solidly part of the Hollywood firmament.
Yeah.
And also people who are outsiders who happen to put in terrific work this year. And I can't decide whether the Academy voters are going to go for the insider or whether they're going to go for the little more exotic.
The beltway, as it were.
Let's
take Best Supporting Actress.
Okay.
Julia Roberts Will she win? Not so much for the quality of her performance in August Osage County, or she is one of the Hollywood, she is a solid member of the Hollywood establishment, so will people vote for her for that reason? Jennifer Lawrence also nominated. She's the young 20-something of the moment. She won last year for Best Actor, Best Actress, I should say. Will people vote for her just because, oh, Jennifer Lawrence is hot?
Or will they not vote for her because she already, she's in her 20s. How many can she have before she's 30?
I think they're going to vote for her.
Really?
I think so. I think they're going to go for their own, and she is the promise of tomorrow in Hollywood, and I think she's going to be the one.
See, my choice here is Lupita Nyong'o, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, for 12 Years a Slave. I saw 12 Years a Slave at the public screening in Toronto back in September. I was looking forward to seeing this film because of Steve McQueen, the director, primarily. Also for Chiwetel Ejiofor, who I think is a phenomenal actor. I've seen him a number of times on the London stage. He's become a favorite of mine. But I'm watching this film, and out of nowhere, here's this young actress, I'm not familiar with her, playing this slave girl named Patsy. And it's like, who is this? She just is, she gives such a riveting performance. Now, this is her first film. After seeing this in September, I said, oh, this is an Oscar nominee and possibly even an Oscar winner. And so to this day, she is my favorite.
All right, let's take a short break here, and then we'll get back and we'll get some of your picks, and then we'll get to the phones at 800-348-2551. Rob Edelman, Audrey Kupferberg here on Ray Graff. We talk Academy Awards with you coming up.
Support comes from Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books, plus collectibles and curiosities. Open 7 days a week, yeoldwarwickbookshop.com. Stories Nursery Freehold, featuring houseplants, seeds and starter kits, pruning and fruit tree maintenance tools. Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., closed Sundays. A gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com. Edward Garbasik, Certified Financial Planner, Havoc and Wealth Strategies, Wilbraham, Massachusetts. Providing customized financial retirement strategies for those approaching or in retirement. HavocandWealthStrategies.com. NTSL, Time and Space Limited in Hudson, New York. Screening live broadcasts from the Metropolitan Opera in HD, including Prince Igor, March 1st to 12 p.m. TimeandSpace.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. The 86th Academy Awards coming up on Sunday. Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg are here. We talk about it, and we handicap the big races. And Rob has already let the cat out of the bag that he thinks 12 Years a Slave is the best picture of the year. Audrey has a different take, and you don't really, you think it's too literal.
Yes, I have to say that I've already mentioned that these are films about struggle.
And pain.
And pain. And 12 Years a Slave presents its struggle and pain in a very literal way, in a way that is actually very off-putting for me and a lot of my friends. And a lot of us have decided to wait for the DVD or Blu-ray so that we can fast forward. Isn't that terrible?
Well,
I mean, I'm a film person, but more than a film person, I'm a person.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sit through the agony. I have respect for the filmmaker, but I don't want to sit through it. So we're waiting, and we're going to fast forward through parts of it.
And you'd mentioned that this is a remake of one that was done several years ago, and the original
30 years ago,
the original version was a little not more subtle, but how would you say?
I would say this was a film that Gordon Parks, who was a really wonderful photographer and filmmaker, Gordon Parks put together Solomon Northrop's Odyssey, 30 years ago.
Exactly 30 years ago.
It's a more gentle telling of the story. Now, it's not a gentle story.
Not at all.
No, but this is an approach that works because we don't have to be hit on the head with the agony of the man in order to feel the agony of the man. This is where art comes in.
But still, it is a nice piece of art.
Well, this is Steve.
It's a very beautiful film, the Gordon Parks version.
This is Steve McQueen's approach to filming. If you look at the two previous films he's made, one deals with sex addiction and the other deals with a hunger strike in Ireland. Steve McQueen's style is in your face. He deals with tough topics, and he will show you the reality of that quote-unquote toughness in so many words and in your face visuals. That's his style. You can like it or not like it, but that's just Steve McQueen's artistic bent. He's not putting the violence there for exploitation.
Gratuitously, yes.
Exactly.
All right, so Audrey, what's your pick for Best Picture? And we'll go down the other top five categories and then get to the phones.
Okay, sure. Gravity.
Gravity is your pick.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm marking you down on my ballot.
Okay.
All right, and how about Best Director?
Okay, I would say Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity.
Okay.
When this film began, the very beginning, I'm watching it, and it's got this incredibly long shot. And I'm watching it, and my mouth is open, and I'm thinking to myself, when is this going to end? When is he going to have a cut? This is really clever. This is really brilliantly done. And a lot of good directors didn't even make it to the top five. But I would say that Cuarón is going to get it, and deservedly so.
Okay, Audrey?
Well, you aren't going to believe this, but I think Steve McQueen's going to get
it. Okay, well.
I mean, it may not be my cup of tea, but it's a very well-made film, and I think it's going to be acknowledged as such.
Okay, so you're reversed. Now, Rob thinks Best Picture is 12 Years a Slave, Best Director is Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity, and you think Best Picture is Gravity, and Steve McQueen gets Best Director. How about Best Actor?
Okay, let me make this point. Last year was such a high-quality year. I came up with 12. Now, there can only be five nominees, 12 potentials. The nominees were Christian Bale, Bruce Dern, Leonardo DiCaprio, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who were left out, Robert Redford for All Is Lost, Oscar Isaac for Inside Llewyn Davis. I disagree with Audrey on this, but I think he could have gotten. Yeah, Tom Hanks for Captain Phillips, Idris Elba for Mandela Long Walk to Freedom, possibly Forrest Whitaker for Lee Daniels' The Butler, Joaquin Phoenix for Her. And there's a film which got nothing because it came out before August, and it's an independent film, low budget, called Fruitvale Station. I highly recommend it. The young actor Michael B. Jordan, not the basketball player, could have gotten a nomination. So with that being said,
all right,
I think it's going to be very close between McConaughey and Bruce Dern. Bruce Dern, he's in his late 70s. He's been around forever. He would win partially because he gave a good performance, and partially it becomes the equivalent of a Life Achievement Award. McConaughey was extraordinary in Dallas Buyers Club. My own personal favorite would be Chiwetel Ejiofor because I'm a big fan of his. Let me put it that
so
way.
So who gets the nod?
I would say McConaughey.
McConaughey is Rob's choice.
Yeah.
Audrey.
Bruce Dern.
All right.
So few people have seen Nebraska. I feel like going out into the street holding a big banner saying, see this film.
People will.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if some awards come in, that's certainly a way to get the DVD sales up or pay-per-views. Yeah. Best Actress.
Oh, I think we agree on this one. Cate Blanchett.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the Woody controversy, which I'm sure everybody's heard about, Mia Farrow, I don't think that will have any impact. I would think Cate Blanchett's going to win this thing, walk away.
That would seem to be consensus from what I have read. Right. All right, Best Supporting Actor?
Jared Leto, same thing. Extraordinary performance in Dallas Buyers Club.
All right, Audrey?
I think Leto is going to win,
okay,
but I would not be surprised if Jonah Hill walked away with it.
Oh, interesting.
I'd be very happy if he did. I think he really did a lot to carry The Wolf of Wall Street.
Which you said was too long.
Too long, yeah.
You know, all right, and you mentioned that there will be a director's cut that's an hour longer.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? I have a problem with the director's cuts. I mean, for me, it's sort of it's like changing a painting. You go to a movie and then you buy a copy and you can see a longer version of the movie. It is what it is, right?
Yes, I have a background as a film cataloger, and the cataloger goes to the original theatrical release as the most official version. So to me, that is it. It's funny. I teach a course called Independent Cinema, and in that course, you have all films that are not made by committee, not made by corporate entities, but by individuals. Mm-hmm. And almost every week in that course, when the film starts to come to an end, the class thinks the film has ended. But I warn them, no, this is an independent film. The filmmaker's going to try to keep it running an extra 5-10 minutes because independent filmmakers never want to give up their film and end it. Goes back to D.W. Griffith.
Oh, that's a great insight.
Yeah. And so if Scorsese has the power, that's what he's going to do.
All right. 1-800-348-2551. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. We have one more category, and then we will get to the phones. Best Supporting Actress.
Okay, well, as I said before, I hope Lupita Nyong'o wins. I think she will. I hope she does.
For 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, it's nice to see a young person. This, as I say, her first film coming up. And she's just extraordinary in this film.
All right.
And I'll go with Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. All right. Well, let's get to the phones, and I appreciate your patience. Let's go to Beth in Niskayuna. Beth, you're on.
Hi. I was calling. I had to mention, of course, Jeremy Scahill's Dirty Wars has been nominated. I wonder what your panel. And it's nominated in with a film on genocide in Indonesia and the violence in Egypt.
So this is documentary.
Yep, best documentary.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, I liked Dirty Wars a lot. I will say about The Act of Killing, this is a film, I saw it, I don't know, a month or two ago. It has stuck with me. It is a frightening film. And again, it's a documentary. It's R-E-A-L. You can't look away from it. This is about a bunch of older men who were, they could be your grandpa, my grandpa. And back in the 1960s, they were killers. They were self-proclaimed gangsters when the military junta took over in their country. And they're proud of it. And on one level, you see these nice old guys with their grandchildren, and they very proudly talk about what they did in their youth. And what's also very interesting here is what ends up happening is they don't want to be forgotten, so they agree to participate in cinematic recreations of their atrocities. It's an extraordinary, extraordinary film, frightening. Not a film you want to see on a Saturday night with popcorn or, you know, for escape. But again, I think this is going to be the documentary winner because it is just so outstanding. When a film sticks with me and gets under my skin in a way that this film did.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you mentioned documentaries because so often they are overlooked.
1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And let's go over to Bobby in South Glens Falls. Bobby, you're up.
Hey, how are you? Thank you very much. I listen to your show all the time.
Thanks.
And it's all good. My opinion, I happened to watch Gravity last night. I think it's certainly maybe special effects. Sandra Bullock was very good. But I didn't think it had the depth of Avatar or the depth of Space Odyssey 2001. I don't see it as best picture, just a personal opinion. I haven't seen the others, but I would think that the others, something would be better.
Better than Gravity? Again, it's a matter of opinion. Like, Audrey and I constantly disagree, but we respect each other. You know, one person enjoys a performance, one poor person doesn't.
I would say with Gravity that I didn't choose it because it's profound. I don't think it is profound. I actually saw Cuarón on Charlie Rose one night talking about Gravity in terms of being a very profound spiritual screenplay mm-hmm. and presentation, and I don't think so. I think it's rather shallow, in fact. But I think it will get Best Movie because of its look, its special effects, Sandra Bullock's performance, it's a very fine production.
So depth is not necessarily the number one aspect to take into account, although it's a big picture. In other words, it's an overall picture. There are some that are deep, some that are not deep, and they all might be worthy.
Yeah, I don't think the Academy is looking for the next big religion. You know, I don't think spirituality and depth are there.
Yeah, well, I just think that, you know, all right, we'll give it cinematography, but it's certainly, you can't say that 2001 Space Odyssey or Avatar didn't have all of those things, and yet it was much deeper.
Okay. Hey, Bobby, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Our call screener, Anonymous Sandy, asks, what are Leo DiCaprio's real chances of getting the statue?
Okay, that's a good question. I think he's missed out on a number of nominations in the past. As recently as 2012, I thought he would be nominated for Tarantino's Django Unchained, and he wasn't. He gets a nomination this year. I think he deserves the nomination. He's really good in Wolf of Wall Street. He really captures the greed of this character he's playing. But I honestly don't think he will win because the numbers won't be in his favor.
And how many are in the Academy? How many vote? In other words, the actors vote on the actors, right?
Into the thousands, yeah. Well, when it comes to determining the nominees, you vote in the category of which you are a part of. But when it comes to the final tallies, everybody votes, and everybody votes for picture.
All right, let's go over to Jerry in Albany. Jerry, you're on with Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg.
Hi, I just wondered, and I'm sorry if this actually isn't from this year, I wondered what you thought of the movie Mud.
Okay, you make a very interesting point. You're not sure if it's from this year, meaning 2013. If you look at the nominees, with a couple of exceptions, like the Woody Allen film Blue Jasmine, which came out in August, they all are post-Labor Day releases. When they start playing at Toronto and Venice and Telluride, this becomes the beginning of their Oscar campaigns. Films that came out earlier in the year, of which Mud is one, get completely ignored. Maybe Matthew McConaughey could have gotten a nomination for acting in Mud as well as Dallas Buyers Club, but Mud came out, what, in March or April or May? That's like, 1962 in the world. I can think of other films that came out earlier in the year that I really liked a lot, but they get forgotten because they came out too early.
Well, whose fault is that? Is it the movie company's fault to not push it?
Part of it is they're not pushed. Part of it is we live in an era in which if it happened last Tuesday, it's ancient history. So film comes out in March, it's easily forgotten. Place Beyond the Pines.
So independent of whether it should, whether it will win or I guess it can't, but yeah. How do you think it compares to the others that were nominated?
If Mud was was in the top nine, I would have no problem with that. But again, it got slighted, I think, because it came out a little too early. Another film that I loved, and I would recommend this. It's an independent film titled Fruitvale Station. This is the one I mentioned previously with the actor Michael Jordan. Extraordinary film, available on DVD, got nothing. Came out a little too early. It's an independent film, fell between the cracks. I was also going to mention A Place Beyond the Pines, which I liked a lot, but it came out a little too early in the year. A film titled The Sapphires came out, same thing. A little too early, so it gets forgotten in whatever category it might be nominated in.
All right, I see. Thank you.
You betcha.
Thanks a lot. Tell us about the lobbying process. We've heard, we hear stories, sort of back-channel stories, that this is quite an expensive proposition.
Yeah. Well, some of it, again, there's a phrase called for your consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the trade publications, the various, which everybody in the industry will take a look at, if the studio or the producer has enough money to put into an Oscar campaign, they'll take out ads for their films. And so for your consideration, Steve McQueen, Best Director, 12 Years a Slave. 12 Years a Slave, Best Picture. Chiwetel, Lupita, some of the other actors for their performances. And this is to make people aware that these films came out, maybe make them think to vote. But it also becomes ego-stroking. When about a year or so ago, there was an ad, for your consideration, Best Picture of the Year, Jackass 2.
Wow.
This is just...
And it didn't win.
No, it didn't win.
Amazing.
Didn't get nominated. I wonder why.
Yeah. But it did get a nomination.
No, that's...
Jackass.
No, that's different. That's a different.
Another film.
Yeah, and this was a year ago. But
excuse me.
Best Picture of the Year, Jackass 2. I don't think so. Best Actor of the Year for your consideration, Sylvester Stallone for Rocky 45.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
So part of it is lobbying. Part of it is how much money is put into the press campaigns when these films play in Toronto, in Venice, and Telluride. They'll have the actors there. They'll have the press there. They'll put out the spin. For the past few months, all these actors and directors have been appearing on talk shows and hyping it up.
Yeah.
I think the Weinstein brothers really did a lot to develop a model for your consideration, because I don't think they were the ones who first came up with the idea, but they certainly recognized the idea that these awards lead to box office.
Yeah.
And if you put out the money, you'll get that back the money at the other end.
I mean, years ago, when Shakespeare in Love won for Best Picture, did people vote for it and did it win because the voters honestly felt it was the best? Or was it because of the Weinstein brothers' very, very savvy marketing campaign?
Now, there's no payola involved, though, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, they don't.
So what lobbying can you do, then?
Well, it's
psychological. You have to convince the community that your film is really high-quality, prestige, deserving of the Oscar.
1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number, 800-348-2551. Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg are here, and we talk the Academy Awards, which happened Sunday night. Back to your calls coming up.
Support comes from Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock. Organic produce, weight loss, and immune support supplements working to help maintain winter health since 1978. Facebook, Twitter, and sunflowernatural.com. Carrie Haddad Gallery, Hudson, New York, presenting modern artists, an exhibit of contemporary narrative and humorous artwork through this Sunday, open daily 11 to 5, carriehaddadgallery.com. Mount St. Mary College in Newburgh, offering bachelor's and master's degree programs in education with dual certification in special education. msmc.edu. And the Beechwood Group of Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, serving not-for-profits and individual investors, Mary McDonald Financial Advisor and Joseph Steiniger, CFP Financial Advisor. TheBeechwoodGroup.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Ray Graff here, along with Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg. And you have your, every year you'll do a talk just before the Academy Awards, and this one is Saturday, right?
Right. Audrey and I are going to be appearing Saturday afternoon at the main branch of the Schenectady Public Library in Schenectady. We'll be having a trivia contest. We'll be discussing the Oscars, the politics of the Oscars, you know, who's going to win. We'll be soliciting opinions from the people who were there. We'll be showing some DVD. So it should be a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's festive. They have balloons and popcorn and a red carpet
and the
whole bit. It's really, they go way out to celebrate the Oscars.
Well, one thing that comes through every time you're on the show is just how much you two love movies.
I mean,
I think you could talk about this. Is that all you talk about when you go home?
No.
No? You don't talk about the Mets or anything?
Well, I do.
The Visa bill.
There's that.
There is real life out there.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Mary Lou and Rhinebeck, you're on.
Yeah, I happen to, my cousin was married to Jordan Belfort. The Wolf of Wall Street was based on. And I got to tell you, the fact that this is even up for anything is upsetting. And I do think that I only went to the movie and watched half of it because it was so disturbing for me personally. But I thought DiCaprio was excellent. But I just find the fact that this particular movie has made so much money, and people who he destroyed their lives, I mean, are still not getting anything of it. So it's just a very unfortunate aspect of this.
I see your point, and it brought him back as a celebrity.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the world in which we live. You know, you can do a terrible thing, and the media will embrace you, and that's unfortunate.
Mary Lou, thanks a lot. Go ahead.
Thank you. No, I just, you know, it is an interesting point where people can actually, as you say, come back, and DiCaprio has actually endorsed Belfort, and that I don't really understand at all. Maybe there's a little bit too much similarity between the two. That would concern me.
Well, let's go back to the film Wall Street, the Oliver Stone film. When Gordon Gekko, played by Oscar-winning performance, by the way, by Michael Douglas, he gives this speech where he says, greed is good. Okay, now, Gordon Gekko is the villain. At the end of the film, he gets busted and he gets sent off to the slammer. But how many people saw this film and just took that phrase, greed is good, and said, yeah, that becomes my rationale for being greedy. That becomes my rationale. That's the culture we live in today. And I do see similarities between that and Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not going to say that much more about it because I don't want to give away the end of the film for people who may not have seen it. But
you
know, it fits right in.
I also, and I think you might join me in this, see similarities between The Wolf of Wall Street and Goodfellas.
Yeah, or I was going to say The Godfather, where bad people are the focus.
Yeah. If you watch Goodfellas, all these characters are introduced, and at one point you go, yeah, well, they're gangsters, they're killers, they're hoods, they're drug dealers, whatever. They're introduced in the same way in Wolf of Wall Street. Mm. But who are these guys? They're Wall Street traders. What's the difference between the two? The way Scorsese sets up these characters and introduces them to the audience in both films.
Interesting.
I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call, Mary Lou. We appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. I do think you sell the humanity a little short when you say, you know, they took Gordon Gekko's speech and said, this is my excuse. I think people are a little smarter than that
and if somebody has a conscience, sure, but a lot of people in our culture do not have a conscience.
That's very cynical.
It's true.
All right, let's go to Joanne in Albany. Joanne, you're on. Joanne.
Taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so my husband and I go to an independent theater almost every week. So we have seen many films, and we've seen all of them except that I couldn't bring myself to go to 12 Years a Slave. But I had two questions. One is, because I see so many movies, they kind of fade away for me. The one movie that has stayed with me all year since I've seen it is Dallas Buyers Club. And I'm curious as to why the performances are lauded, but nobody seems to be talking about it as a best film possibility.
Well, my response to that is there are so many good films last year. I mean, if let's say somehow Dallas Buyers Club won for Best Picture, I would not go, oh, that's terrible. It's a fine film, certainly. One point I do want to make here is, you look at the franchise movies that come out. Now the Lego movie. It's out for 3 weeks, $183 million in U.S. gross. Now, it doesn't matter if the Lego movie is a great film, a good film, a dreadful film. It becomes a franchise. You look at, The Hunger Games, the Harry Potter. These are franchises.
Yeah.
They make tons of money. You take a film like Dallas Buyers Club or 12 Years a Slave or Nebraska or Her or Philomena. Okay, these films are out for months and months. They get nominations. People may be talking about them within a certain framework. But again, publicity-wise, fine. Great reviews. They don't make money. Nebraska has been out for 12 weeks. It's made $16 million. Or 15 weeks. It's been out. It's only made $16 million. Her has been out for 10 weeks. It's only made $23 million. Lego Movie makes $183 in its first 3 days. Why? You know, you want to go to see a movie that's happy, that's fun, that's special effects, that's non-think. Films like Her, 12 Years a Slave, certainly Dallas Buyers Club, a film about a man who's dying of AIDS and who becomes very political in his way. You know, that's going to turn off a lot of viewers. It's and this is why these films are in the minority, and the franchise movies, the films that are based on graphic novels, these are the ones that get the big budgets, and these are the ones that are primarily made by Hollywood.
When we were living in the golden age of Hollywood, in the time of the huge corporate entities, Warner Brothers, Columbia Pictures, Paramount, whatever, MGM, there were basically two kinds of films. There was the kind of film that was a box office sure thing. Mm-hmm. It was exactly what mainstream audiences were looking for as just fun entertainment. And then there were the prestige films, the Shakespeare productions, mm-hmm. or the imports from Germany or France or whatever. And looking, now we're way past that system, looking at the Best Picture nominations, most, not all, but most of the titles in these nine films are those prestige films. They're not heavily marketed to make big profit. They're not going to appeal to the mainstream, but they're out there. They're being made because for some reason somebody thinks it's important to tell the story of Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah.
Or to tell the story of an elderly man whose last chance is to win a lottery.
Is that luck? Is that cyclical, or is that the changing of a consciousness among the Academy?
I don't know. I think we're better this year in that respect than we were in the last couple of years. So maybe we're into a trend. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
One point, that Dallas Buyers Club, after I think it got the nominations, it was re-released theatrically. Okay? This film is only made, even after being re-released theatrically, it's only made $24 million. Not a lot of money in the world today. Certainly.
If it wins, DVD sales should be higher than that.
One would hope. But again, why do people go to the movies? Oftentimes it's just for escape. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And how many people are actually going to go out and buy a DVD of Dallas Buyers Club? Most people today will stream it or rent it for $1.99 on Amazon or wherever.
Yeah.
But we were just talking to one of our young students who says that people are not buying Blu-rays and DVDs.
Right. You can just hit your code in the cable box, and there it is.
Yeah.
And with big screen TVs, it's pretty close to going to the movies without a lot of the expense. So let's go back to the phones. James in Hudson. James, you're on.
Hi. I'm just going to mention a movie that wasn't nominated for anything, and I didn't see every movie nominated, but it was called Kill Your Darlings.
Right.
With Daniel Radcliffe, who is actually like a really not a one-trick pony. Amazing actor. It's about Allen Ginsberg and the Beats. And I don't really even care about the Beats, but the whole supporting cast was like the most amazing acting I've seen any time. And I'm watching it and going, that's that person? When I watch the credits, the guy that plays William, William Burroughs is just amazing. Everyone is. It was a really underrated movie, and I'm going to leave it there.
Sure. Okay, well, thank you, James.
Yeah, I let me just say, I saw Kill Your Darlings in Toronto back in September, and I just, in all honesty, I just thought it was all right. It didn't really strike me as being something that was going to have legs, either at the box office, certainly, or in it for any awards. That was just, again, my response, my opinion.
I'd just like to say a word about Daniel Radcliffe. Mm-hmm. He is doing such a variety of acting on stage.
That's the Harry Potter actor?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I know.
He's doing theater.
He did a West End production of The Cripple of Inishman,
I think it's.
He did How to Succeed in Business on Broadway. Mm-hmm. He is really stretching. He's trying. And I give him all the credit
He wants to have
that.
A career beyond Harry Potter, just like Anne Hathaway wanted to have a career beyond the Princess
Diaries.
Princess Diary. And whether it's Anne Hathaway's smarts or whether it's her management, she has succeeded very, very well, where many, many actors just become one-shots, flavors of the month. And Anne Hathaway won the Oscar last year for supporting actress. So
let's go to David in Cambridge. David, you're on with Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, you came up, you mentioned an interesting phrase. I don't know, while I was talking to Sandy, who was screening, you may have brought this up, and in which case my statement will be redundant. But you mentioned the phrase, for your consideration. So you sort of have to go back a few years, but there was a movie made about
it. I love that movie.
Christopher Guest.
Yes. Yeah. Christopher Guest, and I think one of the most underrated actresses, Parker Posey was in that.
Yes.
And the LaChaux's Harry Shearer.
Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, that's the Christopher Guest stock company, basically.
That's the best in show. Well, some of the best in show. Eugene Levy.
And don't forget, of course, Spinal Tap.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I was just teaching this week the mockumentary of which For Your Consideration is. Very briefly, it's about a bunch of actors who are in a film titled Home for Purim. And there's all this FOIA consideration, awards buzz.
Yeah.
So they get really good. So anyway, anything by Christopher Guest, if you want to have a good laugh, check it out.
The movie within the movie wasn't quite Springtime for Hitler, but it was a really goofy premise.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Home for Purim. I mean... All right, what can he say?
Oh, that'll be 2 cents, please.
Yes.
Hey, David, thanks a lot.
All right. Goodbye.
So, I mean, is there a grain of truth to the way that they went about lobbying for that terrible movie within the movie?
Well, in the movie, it just sort of happens, and they get all excited, and so it ends up stroking egos. Basically, it's a parody of the whole process that I was discussing earlier.
There has to be a grain of truth,
yeah.
I mean, because otherwise nobody would relate to it, and people do, so... Yeah.
So this is very exciting. The Academy Awards begin at about, 8 o'clock on Sunday night?
Yep.
And you'll be ready?
Yep.
And to recap your predictions, Best Picture, Audrey says Gravity, Rob says 12 Years a Slave. Best Director, we have Cuarón for Gravity, that's from Rob, and Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave, Audrey. Best Actor, Audrey says Bruce Dern. And that would be the sentimental choice, you would say, yes?
My sentimental?
No,
or
of the Academy, if he wins.
Yes, I think so.
I mean, he won Best Actor at Cannes, so it's not that, let's take this old guy and give him an award for the hell of
it. Well, he could get a sentimental choice at Cannes the same way, right?
It's very different in Cannes. It's a very whole different animal.
Well, Chiwetel Ejiofor won the BAFTA award for Best Actor. But he mainly works in Britain. He's a British actor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying Bruce Dern because if they go for one of their own, it's not going to be a British actor. It's going to be Bruce Dern. I think DiCaprio, his performances are a little too similar from film to film.
Interesting.
And I think Matthew McConaughey...
that's Rob's choice.
He's had a great...
This is his year.
Several years,
last
really.
Year was his year, I would say.
I could see him in the running, but I just think they're going to go with the old guy.
Okay.
And it's going to be Bruce Dern.
So, and you're both in agreement on Best Actress, Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine, and the controversy surrounding Woody Allen will not be a factor there, you think?
Not at all.
No.
All right. And Best Supporting Actor, you're both in agreement again?
Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right.
But I say maybe Jonah Hill might
sneak in.
Well,
wait, you can't hedge your bets, right? And Best Supporting Actress, once again?
Lupita Nyong'o.
And Jennifer Lawrence.
All right, and we encourage you, if you want to weigh in with your predictions, to go to our website, wamc.org/voxpop, and you can weigh in with your predictions, and we'll see how you do. I'm keeping the sheet here, Rob and Audrey, and next year, if I still can find it, we'll go over how you did.
Okay.
Once again, your event is Saturday in Schenectady.
At the main branch of the Schenectady Public Library, Saturday afternoon.
All right.
And we're also at Q-Fest at Proctor's tomorrow evening.
Well, busy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you'll be presumably home on Sunday watching the Academy Awards with everybody else.
Yes.
And don't forget, you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. You can also comment below today's wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Love to get your predictions for the Oscars. Thanks to everybody for listening. Support comes from Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts and service to customers throughout Western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years, BoydenandParron.com. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, HenyonBakery.com. and Gordon Fire Equipment, offering fire extinguisher service and inspections to businesses and organizations in the Hudson Valley. Family-owned since 1956, GordonFire.com. That's it for the show today. Thanks for calling in. I'm sorry if you didn't make it through. Thanks again to Rob Edelman and Audrey Kupferberg. Rob's commentaries can be heard Mondays on Midday Magazine, Audrey's on Northeast Report on the third Friday of each month, so mark your calendar. Thanks again to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Anonymous Sandy answered your calls. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday tomorrow, and we're going to be diving into some down-home Southern cooking. Mm-mm.
Oh boy.
Stay tuned for a news update.